as I deliver what God wants you to hear today, because given the shocking and painful and traumatic events of this past week, we have come to hopefully be reminded that all lives matter. Say it with me, all lives matter. All lives matter. White lives, black lives, yellow lives, blue lives, all lives matter. Amen? Amen? And we have to somehow find a way to remind ourselves of this. And yet the sudden and unexpected timing of the deaths, you know, none of those folks planned to die that day. The sudden and unexpected timing of the deaths also remind us that tomorrow is not promised. Not even the rest of today is promised. And we need to be mindful of that, amen? Amen. We need to think about the fact, what if today is the last day of your life? What if this is your last day on earth? Have you made your life count? Have you? Are you making your life count? We just admitted that all lives matter, but have you made your life count? Have you built up equity in heaven? I'm not worried about your house equity. I can tell you how to do it. But that equity, you're going to leave behind. Are you building up equity where it really matters? Take stock of your life. This is a time to stop and pay attention. Take stock of your life. Take stock of the past year. Take stock of today. What have you done today to make a difference? Is your time, your energy, your resources? I'll say resources in case somebody's offended if I say money. But money's not your only resource. Are they being spent on what really matters in life? You need to stop and think about it while you can, because in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, it can all be taken away. Amen?
Amen.
Now, are you putting off the important things in life till later? Are you putting off the important things in life for later? Are you procrastinating? Are you assuming you have the rest of today? Are you assuming you have tomorrow? Are you assuming you have next year? Are you putting off those important things? Are you prioritizing things over people? Are you prioritizing the carnal over the spiritual? Think about it. Are you prioritizing image over substance? Think about what you do. Think about the decisions that you make. Think about the places your resources go. Think about all of that. Are you prioritizing image over substance? And are you taking rather than giving? Are you taking rather than giving? Now, our text today, I hope you've been thoughtful about what I've just told you. Our text today will again be familiar. It's another one that you've heard before, and you probably think you know it. But again, we're going to take our time, like last week, and we're going to carefully notice what the Bible is trying to say to us. Amen?
Amen?
So let's go, if you will, with me to the book of Luke, chapter 12. Luke chapter 12 and verses 13 through 21. That is chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. And where we find this text, we have Jesus who's been teaching about avoiding religious and spiritual hypocrisy. In other words, he's saying we should be caring more about spiritual well-being and spiritual consequences than the physical. And yet, what do we preoccupy ourselves with? We should be focusing on the heavenly rather than the earthly. We should be more concerned about those gentlemen who got killed this last week on whether they were saved than whether it was fair. It does matter, especially for the gentlemen who pulled the triggers, whether it was fair and whether it was right. Were they discharging their responsibility appropriately? Because they're having to live with that. Those young men who are passed on, if they were saved by the grace of God, they're better off than the rest of us at this very moment. But those gentlemen who pulled the trigger have got to deal with the fact that they did so, that they liberated those young men from this earth, the one we're still dealing with, and now they've got to live dealing with that. Amen? That includes the one that killed the five police officers, by the way. But he's gone now, and he doesn't have a chance to redeem himself. Amen? Amen, amen, amen. Now, Jesus has been teaching to focus on the heavenly, to focus on the eternal rather than the carnal and the temporal. And despite that teaching, we will see what happens in the beginning of our text. And let's go to it. In verse 13, we read, "And one of the company," meaning those that Jesus is speaking to, "said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me." Speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. So he is the younger brother who has gotten one third of the father's inheritance, and the older brother who gets a double portion would get two thirds of the inheritance. Yet he says, that's not fair. I want half. I want half of it. Now, Jesus has just been talking about what? Focusing on spiritual rather than carnal, eternal rather than temporal. Jesus is speaking and there's throngs of people listening. And yet, despite that, this young man breaks out of nowhere and says, will you get my brother to give me 50-50? People always do what? And people always hear what? Amen, it's true. And sometimes when you're preaching and teaching, people aren't listening to you at all. They're actually listening to the voices in their own head. They're actually focusing on what matters to them. And that's why sometimes they can't even hear the message that's meant particularly for them. He was focusing on what he wanted to focus on. Now, what I want you to notice here, as we focus on chapter verse 13 and try to understand what it's trying to say, when Jesus is trying to teach us to focus on the eternal, focus on the spiritual and not the temporal and not the carnal, he breaks out immediately with something temporal and something carnal. I want you to notice, however, because it's very easy to beat him up. I want you to notice that he didn't get nothing. He got one third of the entire inheritance. He didn't get nothing. He actually got plenty. The problem is he still wasn't happy with his more than enough. Is there anybody here who might find themselves not being grateful for, not being happy with the more than enough that God has already blessed you with? And we steal our own joy by chasing what we don't have instead of enjoying that we do. Amen? Amen? That could be things. That could be people. It could be anything. It could be a job. But we focus on what we don't have. This is what this young man is doing as opposed to what we do have. And Jesus has just been talking. Now, this is Jesus talking. It's no wonder that people don't listen to me all the time. They didn't even listen to Jesus. They were thinking about what was going on in their own heads. Even though we say we're going to check our thoughts at the door, only check the bad ones, by the way. The good ones, if you've been thinking about how good God has been to you, don't check those at the door. Keep those, okay? Just check the bad ones. But let's go to verse 14 quickly and see how Jesus responded to this young man. And Jesus said unto him, Man, who made me judge or a divider over you? He expresses his displeasure with him breaking into what's supposed to be a spiritual discourse with his fleshly, carnal, and temporal desires, wanting Jesus to distract from his work to go and adjudicate this inheritance issue. Are you kidding me? I'm trying to give you eternal life, and you want this to turn into a probate court. Are you kidding me? But then we go to verse 15, where we see the real crux of his response. We now have embraced the context, and now we can really get into the heart of the text. Verse 15, and he said unto them, this is Jesus speaking to the entire group, not just to the gentleman who spoke up to him. He says, take heed and beware of what? Covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things he possesses. Let's focus on what Jesus has said here. He says, beware of covetousness. In other words, beware or guard against covetousness. Now, this word covetousness, who uses that these days? You know we don't use those words these days. And so we can forget what it really means. All right? Beware of covetousness. We don't know what it means. But also, if some of your Bibles probably say greed. Anybody's Bible say greed? Beware of greed. So we don't really understand covetousness, although I've covered it many times. And when you say greed, we get a particular picture in our minds. When we say greed, how many of you all identify with that? How many of you all would admit or believe you're greedy? See, nobody. So we may as well close the Bible now, right? It doesn't apply to us. So if your Bible says greed, beware or guard against greed, all we're thinking about is, oh, yeah, those people, those terrible greedy people. Has nothing to do with us. This message isn't even meant for us. So we're just going to be like this young man and start talking about our inheritance because he's not even talking to us. It doesn't apply, right? None of us are greedy. But in order to get what Jesus is really trying to say here, we have to go back to the Greek. We have to go back to its origins. Amen? Amen. Now, the Greek word that's translated into covetousness here is pleonexia. P-L-E-O-N-E-X-I-A, pleonexia. And it comes from two root words, pleon and exo. Pleon meaning numerically more. And in some contexts, it can represent or mean superior or better. But the emphasis here is numerically more. And then exo means to have. So pleonexia means the desire for more or better things. How many of you have been at times wrapped up in your life with the desire for more or better things? How much of your energy, your time, your worrying, your fretting has been wrapped up in the desire for more or better things. Now, Jesus is not here saying that more or better is actually bad in and of themselves. Amen? Amen? Not at all. But he is warning us against the decisions that we might make based on the fact that we are desiring more. He is warning us about the things that you might prioritize because of the desire for more. He is warning us about the way you might live your life because of the desire for more or better. Amen? Amen. Now, here is the key while we talk about this. This is all the while you are affecting your life and your priorities and your decisions, while you desire for more, you already have plenty. Now, if you have absolutely nothing, you don't have your next piece of bread, You don't have clothes on your back. Should you be desiring more? Yes. But you have more than enough, and yet you take that more than enough and you invest it in constantly trying to have even more. This is what Jesus is warning us against. Amen? Amen. He is warning us against, he says, beware of people. Guard against the evil that comes with the constant desire to have more. I know you can think of many things in your life right now that you have enough. You are very blessed. Some folks would kill to be you, and you are wasting your life because you desire more. Amen? Now, remember what happens to our perspective when the glass is larger than it needs to be. I'm just saying that our perspective gets thrown off when we make the glass larger than it has to be. I'm just trying to teach you, and I'm praying that you're listening. When we make the glass larger than it has to be, we take the same amount of water, which was more than enough 5 minutes ago. And when our perspective gets thrown off, suddenly the same amount of water doesn't look like it fills up the glass. All of a sudden, we get in a scarcity mentality. All of a sudden, we feel like we don't have enough. And you know what that fuels in us. Our flesh already wants to go for more. Our flesh already wants to be ungrateful. Our flesh already wants to pursue more, and it's not ever enough and satisfied. It already is primed to do that. But then when you allow your perspective to be perverted, the same amount of water suddenly looks like the glass is half full or less. Same amount of water because we put it in a much bigger glass than it needed to be. Are you with me? Amen. Are you listening? Amen. If you lose the proper perspective, you can have enough and not know it. You can have enough and not realize it. You can be winning, but constantly feel like you're losing and acting like you're losing. Amen? Amen. Now, the second half of this verse, verse 15, we've just focused on the fact that Jesus said, take heed, beware of covetousness, this drive to have more. He's saying this to them in light of what this young man has come at him with. First, he says, why are you trying to make me a probate judge? And then he says, look, beware of this covetousness. Beware of this wanting more. He's got one third, but he wants one half. Beware of this thing that will destroy your life and make you feel like a loser when you should be feeling like a winner. But the second half of the verse, he says, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Do you believe that? If we believe it, then what explains how we use our energy and our efforts and our resources? We believe Jesus when he says, for a man's life consists not of the abundance of things which he possesses. He is warning us here. He is warning us not to get lost and caught up in pursuing more. Now, I want you to notice something here. He's just told us life consists not in the abundance of the things which a man possesses, right? I want you to notice that he is not saying that life is not only consistent of the things that you possess. He is not saying that life is not mainly the things that you possess. He is saying that none of the things that you possess matter. They don't matter at all. He is not saying that life is not just the accumulation of things. He is not saying that life is not just your house and your clothes and your car and your money and your job. He is not saying that life is not mainly those things. Jesus said in the King James, man's life consisteth not at all in the abundance of the things which he possesses. He's saying it doesn't matter at all. It isn't even part of the equation. Think about that. Not only do those things not count, but the pursuit of these things detract from or distract from the things that really do count. The time and the money and the energy and the resources you spend in chasing stuff you could be giving to something that really will matter. Something that will last forever. And we can lose the good that we already have chasing stuff. Amen? We can lose the peace that we already have looking at a bigger glass and feeling like it's less than half full. We can lose that. We all have something that we can change our priorities on. Are you with me? You can even lose yourself. You can get completely lost thinking you're a loser. And God has set you up and you're standing on the podium. And you can lose perspective and lose your peace. Now, I also want you to be aware of something else here in the second half of verse 15. Now, I said that we are taking our time and we are noticing and we're getting exactly what the word is trying to say. He says, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Right? And we just said that he said it has nothing to do with your stuff. He didn't say kinda. He didn't say mainly. He didn't say also. He said it has nothing to do with your life. Now, does that make sense? It might not make sense to you until you finish going to the Greek with me. What I want you to be aware of, I can't tell you to notice it because you can't see it because this is in English. But I want you to be aware of this. Jesus is not at all talking about your bios life. At all. He's not talking about your psuche life, or your emotions and your will and your worries and your thoughts. He's not talking about that life at all. If you go to the Greek, when he says a man's life consists not of the abundance of the things he possesses, he's talking about Zoe life. He was never even bothering to engage. He just finished telling you in the prior verses, don't be afraid about what somebody can do that can take your physical life. Don't worry about it. He said, worry about the one who can put you in hell. He says, don't worry about the one who can take your physical life and then can't touch you after that. The one that liberates you from this stuff. He says, don't be afraid of that. So when he says a man's life consists not of the things, the possessions, the abundance of all that. So when you're trying to gather it up, he's not even talking about that life. He's not even addressing that life. He's talking about Zoe life. He's encouraging you to focus on the eternal. That's what he's encouraging you to do. He says, this young man has come up to me and he wants me to deal with his inheritance. Let me tell you, I'm trying to get you to focus on the eternal. Can we do that? Can we focus on the eternal is what I'm asking you. Now, Jesus is telling us that when we are blessed to have enough, are you blessed to have enough, anybody in here? When you're blessed to have plenty, how many got plenty? Only a couple of amens on that. He's saying, beware of this trap of making the glass larger than it has to be. Amen for Preacher Carlin. George Carlin, you had no idea. He had no idea that he would be giving us a construct that would bless us and allow us to put the word into proper context. Amen? That glass larger than it has to be, it's a trap for you to make that glass larger. And in our society, we encourage people to make the glass larger than it has to be. We encourage it. And if you don't make the glass larger than it has to be, we call you unambitious, lazy. And yet, that person that we're calling that, they're living happier than us. They have more joy than us, and we want to snatch that joy right out of their lives by saying they're not shooting high enough. Uh-huh. You know it's true. Mm-hmm. I'm not all over the internet and we're not all over social media. I'm not doing all the greatest marketing gimmicks. I'm not shooting high enough. You're preaching all that word. You're doing your best. You should have a million people. You should be doing this and this and this and this and this. You should be shooting for more. The results I want are the results that God has ordained. Amen? Amen. I don't want to destroy my joy that I have knowing that I'm doing exactly what God's told me to do, when he's told me to do it, how he's told me to do it, pursuing more for the sake of more. Amen? Because it can happen even in the church. The glass, larger than it has to be, because of the desire for more, which gives you more what? Comfort, more status, more false security. Chasing more. And there's not even a pot of gold at the end of that rainbow for you. Not the pot of gold that we're supposed to want. Amen?
Amen.
So when you chase these things, you may end up with those things, because we can't have everything we want, but we will end up with the things that we really matter, that we really want. Or we will make sure we get those things. We may not have everything we want, but what we will put our minds to getting anything we want. Amen? But in the end, your life will matter less. You talked about lives mattering. Your life will matter less. Why? Because it consists mostly of things that don't matter. And it's made up of fewer things that actually do matter. So we're talking about your life mattering. We're talking about what? We're talking about Zoe, not Bios. Put your life on the scales. How much are you gaining spiritually? How much are you giving to the kingdom of God? That doesn't always mean, or what are you giving in the offering basket? What are you giving on behalf of God? How much love are you giving? How much compassion are you giving? How much forgiveness are you giving? Or are you like this young man? I want mine. I want mine now. I deserve it. And so you justify your pursuit of more things. And this society will amen you all the way to the finish line in your pursuit of things. Amen?
Amen.
And the church will even tell you, when you got those things, you must have more God. Because that's the way God rolls, right? So when you get more things, you can tell them you did anything. And they'll say, ooh, I want some of that. Mm-hmm. I want some of that. If you went to a church and every single person was driving a Bentley, would you want to go to that church, or would you take a step back? Tell the truth now, shame the devil. I can tell you one thing, there'd be folks flocking there. Okay? Because they want to justify the chasing of things. And they must be doing something right, right? They must be doing something right. Well, there's more than one way to get things. I would not just take a step back. I'd run the other way. That's what I would do. Amen. Are you with me? So we want our lives to matter. Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then what will happen? Stick with me now. Jesus said, seek ye what? First the kingdom of God. So what did he tell you to do? What was your part? Seek ye first, and then all these things will be added unto you. Passive. You don't have to try to make it happen. Amen. That's the formula. Seek ye first what? The kingdom of God. Did it say seek ye first things and stuff and status? No. Jesus never said having things is bad. Jesus never said liking nice things was bad. Jesus never said that having accomplishments was bad. He never said having status was bad. He never said having wealth was bad. But if that's what your life is focused on, you're distracting and detracting from your real purpose. Amen?
Amen.
He said, give, and it shall be given unto you. What's your part? To give. And then passive part, given unto you. Did he say just a little bit? Is he trying to teach us not to really want anything at all? He said, give and it shall be given unto you just a little bit, because that's all you can handle. Just a little bit, because that's all God wants you to have. Just a little bit, because that's how he rolls. No, 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 no. You give and it shall be given unto you good measure. Good measure. Pressed down, right? Shaken together and what? Running over shall what? Men give unto your bosom. God wants you to have stuff, but he wants you to do it right. If you're pursuing stuff, wanting more, he said, beware, beware. Stay away. But he also said, seek ye first. It's all going to be added unto you. Isn't added unto you a good thing? Are you with me? I don't hear you.
Amen.
Added unto you is not a good thing to you all. I hope you're hearing me. I'm not sure. I need you to hear both sides. I need you to understand that God is not wanting you to be without. He's not wanting you to have nice things. He just wants to be the one that guides the hearts and the minds of those who will add it unto you. Then you'll get what you should have, how much you should have, and when you should have it.
Amen.
Jesus said that where your treasure is, what? Your heart's going to be there. Uh-huh. He also said in the book of Malachi to those people at the time and also through to us, he says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove or test me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. So what's our part? To bring the tithes into the storehouse, and then he's going to pour you out a blessing you do not have room enough to receive. Now, this is not about tithing. I brought this up in the context of the message so you can understand how consistent God is about how you are supposed to operate and how then he will cause the entire universe to serve his will and operate in your life. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about living a life that matters. We're talking about making your life count, and Jesus is trying desperately to help us here. Amen. He is trying very, very hard, and I'm trying hard to represent him. Now, we're going to wrap up by looking at the next few verses where he illustrates his point in a parable. And we begin at verse 16, and it says here, and he spake a parable, saying unto them, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. We'll stop there. We're just going to pause. Now, let's notice that he already had plenty. This was a rich man. But I need you not to imagine this as some king with a crown on, somebody living it way, way, way up at the top of the hill. Jesus is using the extreme to make sure that you understand that this man had plenty, just like you. He had enough, just like you. He uses the extreme to drive the point home. So this man is rich already, and then he got blessed on top of that. Now, that could be you, by the way. It's not a bad thing. If God blesses you and you get to have plenty, you get to be rich, the money's going to keep chasing you if you're doing the right things. So the whole idea that he's rich and then he got plenty on top of that is not the problem. Are you with me so far? But it's important for you to understand that he is already in the possession of plenty, and then he got even more. But the more is not the problem. Say it with me. More is not the problem. Say it again. More is not the problem. You get that new fancy car, the fact that you got it, the car is not the problem. I might want to ride in it. The problem is the mindset. The problem is the decisions that might be associated with getting that more, that better, that bigger, that fancier. It's the priorities in your life that may lead to that thing or those things. It's the perspective that you have. Is it a big glass, bigger than it needs to be, or is it the right size glass, the size glass that God gave you that you allow him to fill? So you can be like David, and my cup what? Runneth over. Ain't no valleys we got to worry about. He prepares the table before me in the presence of my enemies. Amen? I will walk through the valley of death and still fear what? No evil. Amen. So the point here is that he's wealthy, and then he got more on top of it. Isn't that an overcoming life? But now let's finish and see what he has to say. He says, after that, he says, and he thought within himself. So he wasn't impulsive. He thought about what he was going to do. He's got all of this, and now he's got even more. Plentifully. So he thought within himself, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my gifts, my fruits. I've got so much, I don't even have a place to put it. That sounds like what we just read, huh? And he said, this is what I'll do. Now he's thought, you know, to himself. And he says, okay, I've got my mind made up. And he didn't call the pastor, by the way. All right. He didn't call the pastor. He called his friends that wanted to justify, you know, they wanted him to get more because then they wanted to suck off of the more. Mm-hmm. And so he said, here's what I'll do. I'll pull down my barns, the one that I've already been blessed with. I'm going to pull down those barns. I'm going to spend my time, my energy, my effort, my resources, pulling down the barns that I already have that house my plenty, my more than enough. I'm going to pull down those barns. I'm going to spend my energy pulling down those barns. And I'm going to build bigger barns. And there, here's what I'm going to do. Here's why I did it. Because there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. Now, I already have plenty. I have more than enough. Now, I've been blessed with so much, I don't know where to put it. And what's my solution? The solution is going to depend on your priorities. It's going to depend on your perspective. Because the glass can never be big enough for some folks. Your glass is already bigger than it used to be. That's how you got rich. And now, you got so much, the glass can't even fill it. It's running over. Your solution is to get a bigger glass. And the mortgage company will happily oblige you until the economy gets shaken up and all the water spills out of the glass and the glass is broken. And guess what? You still owe. Amen? Amen. He says, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get and I'm going to tear down these barns. I'm going to build bigger barns. And that's where I'm going to put all my goods. He's not done. And I will say to my soul, you can translate that self. And I'll say to myself, because you can over-spiritualize, you know how these translations work. He was soul, he's talking about soul. No, look, he's telling you to be more spiritual than carnal. He's telling you to be more eternal than temporal. But this is not talking about his soul. Okay? So I will say to myself, self, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Sounds like retirement for some people. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to build bigger barns, and I'm going to put all my stuff. Notice, I got more than I could ever do something with. And what did I do? I built bigger barns on my property for me. So I can say, I've got it. Now I can rest. Now I can enjoy all for who? Me. Yes. But what happened in verse 20? God said to him, you fool. You're going to be driving along the road and you don't know your taillight's broken. And you're going to say exactly what they taught you to say when you got your license to carry, and that's going to be the end of you. You had no idea. You figured if I just do everything I'm supposed to do,
I'm going to be all right. You figure if I go to work and I do all the stuff that our team is supposed to do to help protect this rally, to keep the folks apart so that they don't fight each other and nothing gets started, I'll be all right. You fool. You thought today was promised. You thought tomorrow was promised. Your next moment's not promised. You fool, he says, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who's going to have all these things that you have provided? Now, if you had thought differently, you could have decided in advance who would have those things. You could have allowed God to use you, and you could have made sure that your plenty ended up mattering more. But instead, you kept it all for you. You could never have enough. You've got $1 million. You've got $2 million that you can live off in retirement, but I'm gonna spend all my energy and effort. I need to have four. I need to have more. There's application to our lives here. I hope you're hearing it. I hope you're noticing it. What a tragedy, right? What a tragedy. Ultimately, all lives matter, but the question is, what life are we talking about? Are you talking about that BS life that just goes in the blink of an eye? Is that what you're talking about? Are you talking about the psuche life, all this stuff we worry about, all the stuff we fret about, all the things that occupy our minds? Is that what you're talking about? You're talking about all the things that are manifestation of your will that you want? Is that what you're talking about? Really? That's the life you think Jesus is focused on? No, we're talking about the Zoe life, I hope. But what life have you been investing in? If we looked at your portfolio, if we looked carefully at your checking account of life, what would we see when you get your windfalls in life, when you get your energy and your health and your resources and your connections and your blessings and your promotions and your jobs and your money and your bonuses? What happens after that? What do you do when you say, self, what am I going to do next? What happens? What are you investing in? Are you investing in the life that can be snatched away in an instant? Or the one that's going to matter forever? Which one? That's the question that Jesus is answering or asking. And as he's doing so, he's not trying to beat you up. He is trying to give you peace. Desperately trying to give you peace. He is trying to give you joy. That's what he's trying to give you. Don't think he's trying to hold you back. He's trying to give you peace. He's trying to give you joy. In some folks' case, he's trying to give it back to you because you had it and then you blew it because people encouraged you to get more, whether you could afford it or not, whether God was ready for you to have it or not, just because it looked good and it sounded good and you justified, just like Eve, having more. Couldn't even realize you had way more than you could ever need. You had a God that was always going to provide, like we just sang. You'd never missed a meal a day in your life, but you needed to pursue more. And then you lost your joy. And that joy can be lost for a long time. Oh, that mountain can get to be real big. You want things? You want to focus on that? You do that for a short period of time and you can be enslaved for a very long time. He's trying to give you your peace. He's trying to give you your joy. And when we pursue more things, we can actually have a beautiful relationship, a roof over our heads, food to eat in the house and going out for it, cars that drive, jobs that are fulfilling, and we could be cowering every night, crying the blues, with having everything that you could ask for. But we want more. Maybe because somebody else got what looks like more. What bank account are they investing in? How could you be jealous over somebody getting stuff that's not gonna matter? Man. I mean, really? Do you know how often we make our decisions and prioritize because somebody else got more stuff? And so then we try to get into that race. We leave our lane. We leave the spiritual lane. We leave the eternal lane. And we get to running in a race. Who cares if you win? Because it ends and that track disappears. That wreath disappears. That medal disappears. Nobody's going to even talk about after the judgment seat. Nobody's going to even be caring about the race you ran. That's the question that Jesus is asking. Which one are you focusing on? He's trying to give you peace. He's trying to give you joy. He's trying to help you win. And I'm desperately trying to get this across to you. No, I'm taking time, but I said we're going to take our time. Jesus is telling us these things to help us. The question is, are you listening? Are you listening? Or are the worldly priorities drowning out his voice? Are your worldly priorities drowning out Jesus' voice as he tries to give you peace, as he tries to give you joy, as he tries to teach you how to win? Choose you this day what life matters most to you. And choose you this day to make your life really matter. That's what Jesus wants us to know today.